Blog Talk Radio.
If you
it going. We're kicking in here right really quickly, aren't we? Nice vibration of the music. This, maybe we can get the idea of the vibration of a message to come through. See what happens. It's not the idea of flying by the seat of our pants. It's the idea of actually listening to our guidance and our spirit guides as we go through the whole thing, because it's like, I guess, a group effort and the idea of getting the messages out to you. So just listen up. See what's going to happen. Okay, here's Heather. Hello, Heather. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm thinking. Anyway.
You're thinking. Don't do that.
Well, everybody keeps asking me all freaking day, how you doing? I'm good.
Well,
I'm good.
As a society, that's just what we do.
That's true. I guess I'm just so used to some people not. So trying to get the thing, I don't want to follow the pattern of everybody else and go, hey, you know, sometimes I want to say hi to people. But when I go hiking on the incline, especially during the day, I can't stop talking to everybody. So
it's
the tourist season is really cool for me. Yeah, I've actually one day I was sitting there, I met some girl named Penny. Her name was Penny. I think it was Penny or Peggy. Her last name was Reed.
Oh, very
we sit there. Yeah, she was coming down, I was going up, and we sit down on this one step, and we sit there and talk for 2 hours.
Now, see, I could do that with just about anybody, because my last name is so common.
Right. But she was very... I'll just say, she was a person that was very dedicated to the Christian, you know, that kind of stuff like that. And I think it was kind of amazing. We sit down and a lot of, it's almost like their philosophies are on the same level. It's just that one chooses to put it on a freaking level, put a title on it. And the other one was just like, hey, I'm just having a good time. She even said that to me. She goes, I see you as you walk. You're just a person who has to say hi to everybody. So when you hear people say that kind of thing, I don't want to get caught up in the ideal. People are kind of tarnishing how I do that. Because we do have some people come by the shop, and it's kind of amazing. I know why they do it. But it's still kind of baffling sometimes how people are very sociable with everybody, and then somebody totally stranger says, hey, how you doing? And they're going, okay. And they just keep moving on going, okay, what was the problem? You go, well, you heard that one before. People don't like talking to strangers.
I say hello to every single person I see, and sometimes they will stop and talk to me for 10 minutes. Sometimes they'll look at me like, Hoopa, how are you? Go away. And I still just keep smiling and keep walking. That's their problem, not mine.
Yeah, I just want to sit and tell everybody, too. I was trying to get that thing I forgot. I guess I've been doing that. See, the ideal, if you want to get a call, you want to call here, get a reading, do it now. Give us a call, 646-721-9031. The number again is 646-721-9031. I'm going to try to do a little sequence. 646-721-9031. And also, if you actually want to call me for a private reading, a private session, give me a call at 740-500-8863. Or go to my website at www, and I forgot to put the D, put the dot in there. www.com. Did I say it right? www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Okay, a May special is 5 30-minute sessions for $100, or 3 90-minute sessions for $100. Those sessions usually go for like five sessions for $30. They're actually $30 sessions. 30 minutes is a dollar a minute. But for a limited time offer, I guess you'd say, you're going to get 5 30-minute sessions for only $100. That's going to save you quite a bit. And also the 90-minute sessions usually go for $135. So if you can get them all three, it'd be great for you because they only cost you $100. And that's a heck of a savings because each one of those things go for $135 a piece. So jump in there. Call now. And thank you for everybody for listening. We're going to go into something here, too. If you want to give Heather a call.
I'm thinking on the summer hours.
Heather can tell you how to call her.
Is that's my cue. Okay. It's 435-503-4577. My email is, if you call me, do leave a message, please. And I can call you back and schedule a time for you. But my email is heather.love.life, L-I-G-H-T, @gmail.com.
Okay.
And my website
is
not up and running at the moment, so.
Ooh, what a strange address. Anyway.
I know, huh? That's unique just for me.
If you want to give a call in here tonight and talk to us, we urge you to push 1, which gives us the prompt that you actually want to come on the air. Because if you don't, there won't be nothing next to your number, so I won't really know. And there are a lot of people who do have a tendency to call in, who sit in the queue, and all they want to do is listen. So which one are you? Tell us by pushing one.
Otherwise, we're just going to be Patty Cathy's all night, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. Look at the situation.
Yeah,
all the guests in the chat room, too. I was sitting talking with the guests in the chat room. Please, if you want to get a reading tonight, please call. If you want to ask a couple questions, then go right ahead. You can ask as much as you want in the chat room. Also, if you're a person, we can also offer you this, too, as well. If you'd like to have one card, tell us that you'd like to have an angel card, and I'll actually do the thing and tell you what's up. So it's one of those situations, take it out, and that kind of thing. I just got my new book today, Thinking Big. I can't remember. I left it at the shop. But it's one of those things of thinking big. Think big for big results, I think, something like that. It was kind of a cool book because it talks about a lot of things in there because it's by a guy who's got a PhD and that kind of stuff. And he kind of touts on the whole thing. And I was reading the book, and it's kind of amazing how people in the sales game and that kind of stuff like that, as this book was going on, I was talking about how you can socialize with people and that kind of stuff, and the idea of how people have a tendency to be offended by certain things you just don't do that you should do. And I'm sitting there going, but doesn't the law of attraction tell us that in the process of changing our perception that we would attract people that were more perceptive and open to what we're going to do? Well, we would be on the same page, maybe more understanding. So it was kind of weird, really, but I was sitting there going, I've been prompted to read these books, and I've been reading the whole thing. I'm actually coming up with a different concept of looking at things, that if we can actually, our intentions create our lives. And I do get the idea what he's talking about the idea of being sociable and introducing yourself to people and getting that energy going, getting that energy flowing between the two, between you and whoever, and the ideal clients. Okay, but we had some situations also as observations of watching some of these people are in town, how they have a tendency, people have a tendency to, I saw this, a couple of people downtown, you know, talking about this, I don't know what you want to classify them as, musicians, wannabes, I don't know. But it was kind of funny how the one guy, he's so freaking loud and trying to get so much attention. And then we have the guy that people call Willie, who plays guitar. He just sits there and plays his music, right? He just plays his music, and he makes all kinds of money. This other kid out there is going, he's like, almost like he's got this look on his face of desperation. Please look at my mouth and pay me $1 to take a look at it. And that one day he was like, hey, you want me to sing a song? And one girl's like, please don't.
You know? Really?
Yeah, because it was like he doesn't sing. When he does that, he does this fast rapping kind of a tone to it. And people are just like, they look at him for 5 minutes going, what the hell was that? Well, my favorite line from Simon Cowell is, what the bloody hell is that? What the hell?
Well, some of
what
them are down. Some of them are pretty dang good. But they're the ones that just go down and they play and they enjoy what they do and they don't have to try so hard. And then there's some that go down there and it's like, honey, maybe you
should
wish
some of those guys would go to Hollywood. Yeah, there was actually one girl downtown. She sings really good, too. She sings all the time. I said, why don't you just take that? I said, don't come out here and practice in front of people. Practice before you get here.
Right, exactly.
I think it'd be a little bit different.
You know, there's a little girl who's about 10 years old who goes and sits with her little guitar, and she sits right there by Patsy. And she just plays and sings, and it's just the cutest thing I think I've ever seen. And I don't know if she makes any money or not, but I think it's awesome that she goes down there and sits in front of people. You talk about dreaming big, thinking big. She's got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's still a little girl, so if she doesn't hit those notes just right, it's not like, I mean, she's trying. She's putting forth the effort and she's doing good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really impressed.
Ooh.
And proud of her.
Right. Well, we have a caller in the queue.
Awesome.
Let's go talk to somebody and see what's up.
Okay.
Area code 602, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
My name is Shiloh, and I'm fine.
Your name is Shiloh?
Yeah.
Hello.
That's kind of a pretty name, isn't it, Shiloh?
Thank you.
It is.
And where are you calling from?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh. So how can we help you tonight?
I was just going to have you do a general reading, or if you get any messages or anything that come through.
When's your birthday?
March 18th, 1974.
March 18th. I would see you more as a Pisces than I would Aries.
Yeah, I'm Pisces.
One more freaking motorcycle goes by, I swear I'm going to shoot him. I'd like to have the window open because it's pretty hot here today.
Here too.
This one guy just keeps cruising up and down the freaking strip. I'm like, bark the damn thing, okay? I'm not impressed with your big-ass mufflers. I just not, you know? It's like one of those things, like, I feel like some of these guys are impressed with their bikes and trying to get everybody else up, but I can't really see a bike because of the noise. Maybe I should turn it down a little bit, but then again, he should park it. Anyway, you know, with your situation, you go, what's the one thing that's pressing you right now? You still there?
Uh-huh, I'm here.
No, I was saying, what's the one thing that's pressing on your mind? Because I keep getting this a lot of distractions.
Well, there's lots of things right now going on with me. I don't have one thing in particular.
I think that's the problem. Mm-hmm. The idea of focusing on one thing, taking care of that situation, moving on to the next, instead of trying to accomplish all of them at the same time.
Lots of things.
Yeah, because see, one thing I don't do is I don't do general readings. General readings give general answers because basically my energy is divided in five different directions, and I don't think that's really fair to you or me because it puts us both in a scattered area.
So what topics do you go by, or what?
Oh, I can focus on anything you want to, as long as it's focused on as a singular, okay?
Okay.
And we'll focus
Let's
on the relationship because relationships.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm listening.
No. The first thing that hit me was the idea of Heather just dropped. I wonder what happened to her. Anyway, that was interesting. Usually don't lose the co-host that quick. Anyway.
So what were you saying about relationships?
No, the first thing that came up to me was relationships and the idea of making a decision.
And what do you get with that?
I keep getting that you should follow through with what you already know you should do. Are you seeing someone now?
Yeah, off and on.
See, that's one thing I would like to sit down with people who keep coming up with these situations and go, I'm with this person, it's an off and on thing, and to say, forget it.
Yeah,
you know,
I know,
like
that would
situation.
Be nice.
I'm just saying, the thing is, I've had this before with people, and they're sitting there going, you know, well, there's just certain things I got to do. I said, no, there's not. Anytime you put yourself in a situation where you say you have to do something, it's probably because you're fearful if you don't, there's a negative outcome. Not realizing by making the decision out of fear or into fear, you're going to have a bad outcome because you're basically making it because of a fear. The fear is the negative, and you're trying to. You can't have a positive relationship if you're constantly focusing on making decisions in the process of a negative. It just won't happen. So when you look at the situation, you're not responsible for nobody but yourself, okay? And the things you do for yourself, this is how it works. When you do things for you, you change. When you change, so does your outside experience. Everything changes.
Right.
So if you have a person who doesn't change along with the changes you're doing, either it means they're not on the same page as you are, and they're not really learning from the reflection. If you can't get somebody on the same page as what you're doing, you're going to, as some people call it, we grew apart. I'm like, no, you didn't. You just continued to make decisions that were best for you. And this person back here is still hanging on to the past. So it's not growing apart. It's just that you decided these changes needed to happen. I need to do some things myself. I need to follow through with some decisions I've already made, which actually reflects back from him back at you about yourself, means you are in a good place. So you can either go back and catch up with him, which I recommend don't. It's
right,
keep going
yeah.
forward. If this person continues to fall out of your life, then let it go. It could actually be that simple.
Okay.
And the idea of letting go and allowing things to happen, the universe will actually do that selective thing too as well. One will leave your life in favor of the one that's supposed to be in your life. The one that actually contributes to your happiness that you've already acquired instead of always questioning it and criticizing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So I'm just saying what your situation is, some people have told you that you need to grow up. I think they're just jealous of your playful attitude. Okay, so when you sit here and look at the situation, I was talking to a girl the other day, and she said, well, I went out and did this, and I wanted to go skinny dipping, and people thought I was being too egotistic. I'm like, how's that? You were just doing what you wanted to do. So the egotisticness or the ego that's in that situation is actually from the person who's actually criticizing you for doing it. So basically, they just reflect back at you that that's exactly what you wanted to do. But we do have a tendency to question ourselves when people say things like that. And every time you make
right.
any kind of changes in your life, you're going to have supportive people, and you're going to have people criticize you. But that's also signs that you're actually going in the right direction, too. So keep going. But I guess you would look at a situation like yours as just let go of it. Because relationships are not supposed to be off and on. They're supposed to be continuous.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And when you have a person who actually distanced himself, I guess we would say, what, him?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to point fingers, but that's what I get. It's kind of funny how guys have a tendency to go, I need to work on a relationship and my issues, and then they disappear. Which is the most contradicting thing you can think of, because if you need to work on your issues when it comes to relationship, shouldn't you be in a relationship?
Right.
That's why he's having the issues, right? Because he hasn't dealt with them. And here you are, thinking nothing but how to fix it. So when you sit and start thinking, I always tell people, when you first start using the word fix it, it's time to move on, because the ideal is you can't. All you can
right.
do is look at the situation and go, okay, I'll look at all the infractions I've done. I'll learn from those. I'll learn from the reflection he's given back to me about myself, and then go from there. But you can't do nothing for him. And one thing about, I've been with the women a couple of times, I said, you know something, people, don't ever go out and try to find someone. Just forget that whole part. So I don't approve of dating services, because it's just the ideal of pursuing. And realistically, with this kind of show and what we're trying to focus basically on, that you attract every good thing to you. And that's the word, attraction. Attraction is not pursuing. It's the ideal of putting an intention out there, getting something to manifest, and what your job is to open your arms to receive it. So, yeah, you do have your physical part, allowing it to be a part of your life. That's the point. And relationships are like this. It's not the ideal of a missing piece. There has never been a missing piece. That's just a perception within yourself because of what you've been through that makes you think that. Lack of limitation, right? When realistically what it's all about, and why I always urge everybody to live your life, because it's actually taking the life that you created and sharing it with somebody else. And it seems like the guy that you're with really has a hard time sharing that with you.
Yeah, I think he's a sociopath.
Okay, if that's the case, then think about it. If you come to the conclusion he's a sociopath, it's not your job to fix him. It's basically your job to go, oh, forget this. I want to be a girlfriend, not a therapist.
Yeah, I can't fix him.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm telling you. That's what you need to do. When you come up with all these things, there are little signs that keep telling you that you need to let it go and move on. And the idea of finding it's allowing someone else to be a part of your life that's actually on the same page as you are. Even if you have certain things you have to learn in life, I'd rather share it with somebody who actually at least on the same perception.
Right.
Instead of somebody telling me I'm doing it wrong, which is basically trying to influence me with their perception, okay? It's about respect. Respect starts from the idea of realizing that you want to attract someone in your life that can actually accept you for who you are. When that person can't, that means they can't accept themselves. And that's a prime example of saying, this can't be the person for me. Because I didn't put on my list, I want somebody decisive. I didn't, and I hope you didn't put something on your list that says I want a sociopath, okay? Well, this is why it's so important to have the list itself, to look at that list and go, okay, I never called for this. I never called for a guy to be distant, to run away every time it gets a crucial issue, that we're actually almost on the verge of actually making a positive outcome. No, I didn't do that.
Yeah, I thought I did all that list stuff, and I took like 7 years of no dating, no nothing, to really figure out what I wanted and what I didn't want and to set boundaries and all that, and didn't work, apparently.
Well, it's just one of the situations when you set boundaries, what you're doing is you're setting little lines of respect for yourself. And when that person doesn't respect you, that boundary is put up because you made a promise to yourself. And said, okay, no one's going to walk on me, no one's going to put a footprint on my chest. And the first time someone does, and take that foot and shove them out the door. Anyway.
Right.
Sure, we should be understanding and loving, but seriously, think about it. In a situation, if two people are not on the same page, right, all you're going to do is set yourself to be a therapist and also an enabler to keep him facing the same thing. Because you'll start feeling sorry for him. Oh, he's been hurt. I always tell people, who cares? Who
right.
hasn't been hurt? Who hasn't gone through situations, okay? And it's like if you guys are meeting right now at this time, you can really sit here and look at the situation of why it would be so disrespectful right at the back because of what things he's not confronting. And we also know for a fact that two people don't meet unless they both put the intentions out there for it to happen, so you manifested each other. Okay, so if a guy is being indecisive and not wanting to do all these things for you, that means he's not really looking at the situation, what it was created for him to actually confront those issues. When you love somebody, realistically, you basically have already started loving yourself. And when a person has that indecisiveness about loving another, he hasn't completed the work. And he's not really respecting himself in the situation, realizing the person he just manifested was there to help him take those last steps. So therefore, he could unconditionally love himself, which also sets up a chain reaction of being able to do the same to another.
Hmm.
So it's like you both look at the situation and say, okay, I got it. And he says, I don't know. Okay? So basically, it's like helping people understand, yes, it was what it was, but one person accepted it and the other one questioned it. So you look at yourself and say, okay, I do all that work. That means basically you probably were seeing it for what it was and all the potential. And this other person was just sitting there going, I don't think so, or I don't know, you know, but it's one of those things that we're still presenting the same thing. I just feel like we'll get past the whole situation and go, this don't go any more depth than the guy. What's his name?
What's his name? Dave. Dave Rem.
I think Dave. Right. I think you should drop Dave off at the bus stop. Anyway. I'll put it to you like this. I feel like in the month of June, if you let this go mm-hmm. completely, I feel like by the end of the month of June, you'll meet somebody else. And it's not one of those things of searching out. It's one of those things of crossing paths, putting yourself in a moment where you just unconditionally share each other and share with each other. And you should pay. That's why I always tell people the idea of when you know yourself real well and the idea of going out there and allow it to come to you, as it's coming to you, you can see it for what it is. And when you have moments like that where you're actually just unconditionally and just easily sharing with each other, then it's one of those things also, don't get too crazy about so much you put into it. And look, I'm just saying, look at the moment and then have the anticipation of having more moments with that person. You know, when you sit here and look at Dave, I feel like it's more of an anticipation of what's the next thing is going to happen. But I don't see it as a positive
thing.
Sure. So when you sit here and look at the situation and go, okay, I'm just like you said before, you've made the decision a while back, and the idea when you took a 7-year absence, okay? So it's the idea of saying, okay, I'm in a different place. I've done the learning, and I've changed my perceptions. I've got the boundaries and stuff like that, and have trust and faith in what you've done that you will attract a person, but you got to let go of this, I guess, all the images that have to do with the indecisiveness with this one. That you're not going to manifest it again. You just have to, that's because that's what I always tell people. The list is good. The wants and needs and desires to be established is good. So therefore, you can promise yourself not to settle. And then you can look at this one if something on some, just be honest with yourself. There's some kind of subtlety that went on with this thing or wouldn't have gone as far as it did. And just promise
right.
yourself you're not going to do this anymore. When you start seeing the signs for what they are, I still feel like, because we talked about this the other day, when people really want to be with you, they have a tendency to go over like gangbusters. And all we do is just be ourselves. So in this situation, it was kind of hard to do that. And that, I think, was one of the keys, too. To be in a situation where you can be comfortable with yourself, which means you can be totally who you are. And I get the impression with the cards themselves, where it talks about it's crucially important for you to be yourself at this time, too, as well. Keep doing some more spiritual work, and you understand what it talks about, the idea of being, you know, being totally who you are, which means the ideal. You have abilities. You have psychic abilities. You have spiritual insights and those kind of things. You need to trust those. And the idea, the more you tap into your abilities, the more you tap into your true spirit, and you start realizing there are no limitations in anything. So when you start seeing people who have limitations, you're going to get a limiting relationship. I just feel like you got something good coming on. It just takes the idea of just letting this go completely. Because I get the impression in some ways he has a tendency to come back and
mm-hmm.
be very convincing. But I'm just saying, when I look at the situation, he goes through a little phase called the honeymoon phase. And as soon as he feels comfortable with the situation, then he has a tendency to divert back the way he was in the first place.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm just saying, you know, people, I always tell people, oh, he changed. No, he didn't. He just couldn't hold the act any longer, and he went back the way he was.
Right.
He regressed.
Exactly.
And I think the relationship, everything else changes
yeah.
in your life for the positive.
Yeah.
Because I'm just saying, striving for. I understand that, you know, when we're manifesting things, it's easy to manifest a car because a car is not going to tell you, I don't want you no more. But you also have to realize that when you manifest that car, you focus on exactly what you wanted, money, whatever it is, as objects, right? But you can do the same thing with relationships as well. There's not any difference. It's just a person compared to an object. Does that make sense?
Yes, completely.
I mean, you are a busy person, correct?
Yeah, well, I'm at work right now.
I was like, man, she's like multitasking on something. Because she's getting it, but she's also somewhere else at the time, you know? You can see that little fine line where it's like a split personality. You're here, and then you're here, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm just trying to be quiet for everyone.
What do you do?
Order entry right now.
Order entry?
Mm-hmm. Like data entry, putting stuff in the computer and shipping it off.
So let me ask you a question. What do you want to do with your life? When it comes to career and the idea of what you like to do with your life, what is your dream? Own a business?
Yeah,
really
ultimately that would be good.
Yeah, it's one of those situations that you need to focus on the idea when you want to do that, because it's the ideal. We were talking about this the other day. You're sitting there and you're all depressed and stuff, sitting there in your house. All of a sudden, somebody calls you up and says they're going to go to the movies, and they want you to go with them, and it's also a movie you've been wanting to see for a long time. You will see a person go from sad and depressed to happy and anticipation in 2 seconds. It's the ideal of actually allowing yourself to do that in every aspect of your life, to realize it can change just that quick. So I really get kind of irritated with a chronic depression or clinical or whatever they call that depression thing, because the definition of depression is one who lives by other people's goals, who tries to stand up by somebody else's standards, and they get depressed because they can't do it, not realizing you never were meant to. Okay, that's a fear, like with jobs and stuff like that. Their expectations for you is usually a goal that they have, not you. And I think sometimes that's why it's so hard to do. But some of us have a tendency to obtain any goal we put ourselves to. It doesn't matter what we're doing. It's just the idea of changing that perception to focusing on something that you really want to do. Because you're a very creative person, and I think that creative side of you really needs to come out, because I feel like there's a business waiting on the other side of it. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I'm just at work. I just got back from lunch, so it's...
What? You didn't call us in your lunch hour?
Yeah, I did, but it's over. Well, we get a half hour.
No problem. You need to call us back sometime when you get some time. Or, I was going to say this. I do private readings, right? So just call me sometime. I don't care what kind of budget you got going on. Huh?
At the same number that I called in tonight?
I have a private line. If you'd like to have it, I'll give it to you. And you, whatever your budget is, I don't care what it is, just call me. I think you need to have some insights and some sessions. So.
Okay.
I would just recommend figuring out what you can do. Tell me what you can do, and then we'll go with that.
Okay.
I can let go of my fee for a moment, and then actually what I charge, and we'll just focus on you, okay?
Thank you. That's nice.
And just give me a call and the number. If you got a pen or whatever you got there, I'll give you the number real quick.
Okay.
Okay. It's 740.
Mm-hmm.
500.
Okay.
8863. Okay.
740-500-8863.
99. What did you say now?
740-500-8863.
There you go. Thank you. You hit me off when you did the big numbers. Anyway, that is it. Definitely. So give me a call and we'll schedule accordingly. Like I said, just sit down and.
Okay.
Be honest with yourself what you can do, money-wise and that kind of stuff, and then we'll work with that, okay? Whatever it is.
Okay. Okay, great.
All right?
Thank you. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have a great weekend, too. Keep forgetting to speak that. All right? Okay. Where am I at? Anyway, since we also heard the number, 740-500-8863 is the number to call me for private sessions. And actually, this month, we're actually having a special, too. You can get 5 30-minute sessions for only $100. So think about that, the idea of what 5 sessions could do for you. And, you know, you can use them anytime you want to. You can use them all in 1 week. You can use one session per month. Whatever is good for you. Just throw it out there, okay? We're very flexible in those kind of things, too, as well. And if you do call us, and the idea of saying, I really don't have that kind of money for fees, don't let the money intimidate you. Just come back and tell me what you got. Or even the ideal from time to time. I do have a tendency to just see the work as more important than anything else. So don't hesitate to call and see what happens. So that's number 740-500-8863 for private line, private readings. Or you can contact me on my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And I was going to sit there and do that with you. I had that number here for a minute. Anyway. So the last caller is still listening, which I think she had to go back to work. Well, like I said before, just give us a call and you won't be surprised. Let's go to our next caller, which is area code 206. Plus, if you also want to call in here and get a reading tonight, just give us a call, 646-721-9031. Again, that's 646-721-9031. This is the Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Psychic X Journeyman. My friends call me Donnie. Heather was here for a moment. I'm not really sure what happened to Heather, co-host. But it's now 8:45 p.m. here, Mountain Time. It's 5/17/2003. We're going to have a great show here, so let's go on to our next caller and see what's up and see what kind of questions that we've got going on. That's area code 206, you're on the air, and welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Donnie. Hi, it's Cheryl. How are you?
Cheryl.
Oh, my God.
So, maybe. It's in Washington State, and she's, okay, I got you.
Yeah. Now you know.
We're going to talk about the idea of dating Ted Bundy. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so I just have, this is just going to be very quick, okay? So
no problem.
You're familiar with my whole situation, the whole thing. And you know that I have two grandkids, and they're both five, daughter, grandson. Mm-hmm. I had them both over last night. They were spending the night, and it was about, 8 o'clock, maybe 8:30. So it's not quite dark out, still light. And they were playing in one of the bedrooms. And my granddaughter, she came out of the room, and she had this really funny look on her face. Mm-hmm. And she sat down in the chair across from me, and I said, "What's up?" And she's like, "I just saw a girl in the backyard." I go, "A girl? What kind of a girl?" And she said she was about her age, and she had very short blonde hair.
Huh.
Like above her ears or to the ear or something. You know, she pointed like, you know, about ear length.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, what was she doing? Because there's no little girls around here like that anywhere. I mean, I'm at the end of the road, you know, secluded."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "What was she doing in the backyard?" She said she was just standing there, and she was turned, and she stood up, and she turned like a sideways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was looking at the trees. And she goes, "I was kind of scared." This is a 5-year-old. And
right.
She goes, "I was kind of scared, but not real scared." But she had a, you know, I could tell something had happened. She goes, "What was she doing out there?" I said, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, where did she go?" And because they were looking out the window, and that's how they, but my grandson didn't see her. Because I asked him, I said, "Did you see the girl?" And he said, "No." And so when I asked my granddaughter, I said, "Well, where did she go?" She said, "She just disappeared. She was just gone." So my question to you is, what was that?
Hmm. Well, the image I got was the idea of the girl walking into the woods. Almost like the idea of walking to the woods, and how would I put this? The image came to me as that's what she did. She walked into the woods and never came back.
Hmm.
You have woods around you. I could have swore you have trees and stuff.
I do. Right, right. Remember all those trees? Remember you had said you had seen, like, nothing bad, but you'd seen, like, little sprites and, you know, those kind of things. Nothing scary. In the tree.
Yeah, and usually when it comes to the idea of girls usually are more sensitive than guys, and actually intuition and clairvoyancy actually
mm-hmm.
comes from the feminine side. Mm-hmm. It's like a feminine, I want to say it says on the right side. Anyway, no, I get, you know, when you look at the situation, I don't think it's anything, actually, from what I can pick up with the situation, I don't think it's going to happen again.
Okay.
I mean, I could sit there and say, well, we could go for a walk in the woods around your area, see what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like something that would be something you'd really tune into to the point where, let's say something did happen to the little girl. I keep getting the impression it was so long ago, it wouldn't really make any difference.
Okay.
Like, you know, like she said, I think the reason she was scared because she was startled because there she was. But then
right.
again, she's also saying, not really. So I think it's
right.
one of those things that the girl didn't scare her. Or anything about her, it was the idea of being startled.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to see what you thought because to me it was just so out there. I mean, odd, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, in the past, both her and my grandson have just said certain things that have just, you know, kind of, you know, like they've said things that made me stop and think and go, wow, that came from a 5-year-old, you know.
Yeah.
And words of wisdom. And then for her to see that was just, I thought, oh, I don't know, you know. I mean,
no, I have the same problem you
did with
that. Yeah, I had a kid come to the shop with her mom, and it was just funny how this kid had this girl had all this knowledge about crystals and how she could actually use crystals to connect to her deceased father.
Oh, wow.
And I was just sitting there listening to her going, I think we have a little Atlantean here who's got this crystal thing down, and she knows exactly what to do with it. Because she was just asking me for Father Mister and that kind of stuff, and it came to me as two times more than everybody else.
Okay.
So I get the impression sometimes these situations are just showing you that your daughter, your granddaughter, is very sensitive, intuitive.
Okay.
I mean, how long you guys live on that property?
I think I moved in 93, so about 20 years. About 20 years. And I've never really felt anything, you know, or seen anything or, you know.
Yeah, just your personal experiences, right?
Right.
But nothing with the house itself and the property.
Yeah. And she's never said or done anything like that before. And the fact she wasn't scared, I was okay with it. But I thought, is this something that would she reappear, or was it a one-time thing, you know?
I feel like it's a one-time thing. This is more like I would see as more of a ghost than a spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, because to me, ghosts are things that have a tendency to reappear in certain areas of certain things that sometimes it doesn't have to be a trauma that actually happened to them, but it is a familiar place that has a tendency to... we've actually had that a couple of times, too, where a certain thing, when things start changing, that you sit there and told me before about the property and how things are going to change with that whole thing, too, which is kind of funny when things start changing themselves out, even to the point of the energy of changing occupancy and certain things, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, I know you're not going to go anywhere, but there's still a certain energy about this thing is changing. That you'll no longer be responsible for certain things, that responsibility shifts.
Right.
So you sometimes have the tendency to send a riffle to the spirit world, and things will start reappearing. So it could hit her in a certain way, where you would have these like little pictures of things that she experienced that would reappear again.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I mean, I hadn't even thought about that. You're right. This whole thing is intensifying this whole week. It was, a phone call to everybody, you know, finding this out, going to the next step with the property, on and on and on. So it is increasing. Mm-hmm. It's been very hectic, yeah.
And you have those residents that are there and that kind of thing, too. And like,
right.
That kind of energy could just it's like the girl that she saw could have been in a trauma situation herself. So therefore, the chaos that you have with your tenants, with one particular one anyway, could actually send off that energy too, that actually certain images of a past life could actually materialize.
Well, you know what? I was hoping that whoever it was, was not related to the other situation. You know what I mean?
Sure. I know what you mean. It's like one of those situations with somebody... one of their own infractions coming back to haunt them.
Right. That's what I was kind of fearful of. I thought, oh my God, I hope that has nothing to do with that.
No. You know, it's like as your granddaughter's describing, she's staring up at the trees. To me, that when you said that, it just gave an image of her focusing on almost like two images, wanting to disappear in the woods, and then did. So, you know. Never got any connections to your tenants, and especially the one you're talking about, wouldn't be that hard to pick up some craziness for that one. But I didn't get any connection to it, so.
Okay.
I'm even being told there isn't any.
Okay.
It's just any kind of connection you would have here is just because of the negative energy or the negative vibe she puts out there anyway.
Right.
And she does have a past of certain things that she did, and the idea of the demise of other things, we'll just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of energy, or even the ideal of why the way she is, the anger, the rebellious part, and acting out, and that kind of stuff, could actually activate, just that negative energy could activate, because that's what people think ghosts are. They're just part of the atmosphere, and then when certain things hit them a certain way, they reappear. They play out like a video. They play like a video that's caught in time on like a VHS or something like that.
Hmm. Okay.
And you said that one person just came back into the picture too.
Last week.
Yeah.
She spends a lot of time in the woods with Tenet.
Hmm.
Like she goes for walks behind the house through the woods. Not sure exactly what she's doing. You know what I mean. That seems to be her little place where she stashes, you know, stuff, and you know the snowball starts rolling downhill. But she does. She walks through the woods and spends a lot of time in those woods. So that kind of makes
right. Well, the energy just affecting things that are in her environment. Where you can, it's like a focusing on a person. Where you can sit there and see a personality in some ways on that too, of a person's more gentle side, but that could also be something that she should have saw too. And the way she is, you really can't sit down and talk to her and ask her what she saw in the woods. No, but it's one of those things that a lot of people, with the way she is, a lot of people are always wanting to focus on that more of a relaxing side of themselves, or as they call it, their true personality. Because I know for a fact that things that she does, that kind of stuff, are just manufactured because of what she's been through and the things she won't let go of. I just feel like she activated a spirit that was out there anyway.
Okay, well, that's really all I had. I just, I thought I'd try to catch your show. I tried to catch it a couple times, and I missed it. And I thought, well, I'll just try you tonight. So.
Yeah, Heather was on a while ago, and for some reason she got dropped, and I haven't seen her come back yet.
Oh, darn. Huh.
That was interesting. I'm like, okay.
I tuned in a little late, so I didn't get to hear the very, very, very beginning. So maybe she'll come back on, and I can listen, and I'll just listen to the rest on the computer. Do you have a lot of people in your queue?
No, I have one more person. Okay. I was just sitting going over some stuff a while ago because I'm always looking for some feedback on Heather, because Heather's the first person that's actually come on the show with a very strong personality, and really, she gives it her opinions. She's nothing like Dee. What do you think, Dee? Yeah, I agree. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take 5 seconds. But you sit here and talk to Heather, and it's like, so what do you think? And even when she says she doesn't really have anything, she still has that side of her where she can give you advice on the thing that she's gone through in the process of what you're going through. So I think it's one of the best co-hosts I've ever had, and it's actually makes the show enjoyable to the point where I like being here, because there's been a couple times, like with April and Dee, it was just constantly motivation to get them to do something, you know?
Draining.
And I'm like, yeah.
Draining on you.
Because people were sitting there asking me, so what did you do it for in the first place? I said, well, in a casual setting, they all seem like they really have, you know, have the intent, the abilities, and the motivation to do it. Then you put them on here, and it was just like they all came off like gangbusters, and as the show goes along, they're just like, I don't want to be here. And I said, well, and I think one night I did that with Dee and April. I said, you know, if you guys don't want to be here, then don't be here. But don't come on here and tell me what I should or shouldn't do, because you don't want to be here. That's what it was all about. Actually, you can actually say hello to Heather now, because she just came back in.
Heather,
hangs up.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. Donnie's talked about you, and I haven't had a chance to listen. Not that I have an exciting, fun-filled life or anything, but I always seem to tune in at the wrong time. And so he was asking if I got to hear any of you, and I said no. So now I get to hear you.
Yay! I'm so glad.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question, because Cheryl came on and was asking about her granddaughter saw a spirit of a blonde girl had hair down to about her ears, her neck, somewhere around there. And I was kind of curious if there was something you could tone in on to see what this spirit was all about. I think it was just something that was activated because of certain things that are going on right now. I don't see it as anything that should be taken in. And I don't see any concerns. I just see it as like a reoccurring person who left an image or left an impression on that part of that place right there. So I was just wondering what you might think.
okay. I wasn't quite clear on that first part, Lonnie. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, last night I had my grandson and my granddaughter. They're both five, and they were playing in the bedroom, and they came out. My granddaughter had this, like, different look on her face. I said, what's wrong? And she said, there's a little girl in the backyard. And it was about 8 o'clock at night, so not quite dark, not quite, you know, light. It was 8:30, starting to change. I said, really? And I go, how old is she? And she said, about my age. And she's got really short, and she pointed, like, above her ear, like, right, you know, to the top of the ear, blonde hair. And I said, well, what is she doing? She said, she's just standing there, and she turned sideways for me. And so the girl was standing sideways, she said, staring at the tree. And it's all trees. I'm very secluded. And then she just disappeared. She was just gone.
Okay. Well, I agree with Donnie. There's a lot of there's a lot of shifting going on. And see, in Manitou, we have a little vortex, and so there's a lot of spirits that hang around. And they're okay if you're concerned about them. There's a way to make sure that they're not in your space anymore, and we can handle that. If you're not concerned about it, if you're okay with her being there, she has some connection to that thought.
Okay.
To your property. And so I don't know if she's lost or if she's probably just not finding her way quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Are you worried?
No. It would take a whole lot more to worry me. And my granddaughter wasn't scared. She goes, I was a little scared, but not really. And I said, well, and I don't even know how I even played it off. I mean, well, with a five-year-old, something new came up, and they were, you know, gone, playing, you know, running around again. So she wasn't too concerned, and it doesn't bother me. I was just hoping that it wasn't connected to something else, you know. But Donnie explained, I've got so much going on with this property that I'm, you know, trying to sell. It's been a hectic week with talking with escrow people and title people and, you know, the attorneys. And so this property is shifting out of my control. And, you know,
there's a shifting going on. It's sending a ripple in the spirit world. And it connected to this image that was impressed on the atmosphere that's there, that it reevacuated itself, where she's looking. I mean, the girl's looking at the trees, and it seems the ideal of concerned about property, but she's not really concerned because it seems like she's happy. I would actually kind of trace her back to probably, I keep getting 1836.
Mm.
So even if the girl did have a way where she was actually killed and have a certain demise, it's one of those situations where I think it's just, like you said, all the chaos is going on in your life right now that's causing a little ripple in the spirit world, and these things are appearing. But when I look at the situation, I never saw any concern with it. Because it's like she's not doing anything. She just turns and looks at the trees.
Yeah.
So
okay,
it's more like
This
go
keeps
ahead.
Coming up for me, and I know this sounds really crazy. I can't say crazy. It just sounds unusual and not of the third dimension, okay? But if you can, if you're comfortable with this, I just feel like the little girl, she gets to have some reassurance. I don't know if you're open to that, if you're open to just going out and sitting where she was at and just maybe talking like you would talk to your little ones there and just reassuring, just, you know, everything's going to be okay. It's all good. You know, this is going to be just fine.
Okay.
I don't know if you're open to that. I know it sounds a little unusual.
No,
I could do that. No problem.
Okay.
No. Because Cheryl says the same thing. Cheryl said, it might sound a little crazy.
I say that, Donnie, all the time. I'm like, you're going to think I'm nuts. And then I tell him something. And then when he explains it, it's like, I'm not nuts. I'm not crazy.
No.
You know?
No.
Well,
when it comes to society, the way that we are as a society right now and living in the third dimension, yes, those things do sound a bit unusual and odd. But we're raising our vibration and everything is different now. So, no, you're not crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Everything is different.
Oh, yeah. So maybe how open-minded we are, but people still have a tendency to still have that skepticism with themselves and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But,
okay,
yeah,
well,
so
I'm not going to keep you any longer because I know you have more people, but it was nice talking to you, Heather. And if anybody
Thank
is out there
you.
Listening, oh, my God, I hope you have listeners. But Donnie is incredible. Now, you have to be quiet, Donnie. Donnie is
okay.
incredible. And I have been talking with Donnie for probably a year now. And I have called him with the wackiest, craziest stuff, things that I have never told a soul about. And he has been such a help to me. I don't know where I would be, seriously. I don't know where I would be if I haven't had him to talk to for this past year. And there have been times, and now I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, there have been times when I could not pay him, and he's had to wait a week or 2 weeks for me to pay him. And we have this trust, apparently, that he has been okay with that. I try not to let it happen, but we never know when crazy things are going to happen and you just need somebody to talk to or to figure out what's
right.
going on. And Donnie has worked with me with this, you know, the financial stuff because he knows where I'm at. So I just want people to know that.
Okay, thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, Donnie, I'll talk to you later. And Heather, it was really nice meeting you.
You too, honey.
Okay, we'll talk
Bye-bye.
Later. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Donnie, I have a little bit of a dilemma. I was cut off because my brother and I brought my mom to the ER. And I tell
oh,
you, she had
right.
a very, well, I don't know. I've never had such a fast, we got into the ER and we weren't even standing in front of the desk for 5 minutes and she was wheeled back to a room, so which
oh.
never happens. Yeah. So,
right.
But I tell you, it's very, very humbling to watch your mother, you know, go through this and sit there and listen to all the medications and all the problems
mm-hmm.
that are going on with her body and to sit there and see all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't. There's a new thing that I experience each time with my mother, and I don't know, it's eye-opening for sure. I don't know. I'm in a different situation than I'm accustomed to being. I'm normally very very positive, upbeat, happy, cheerful, and oh, we can fix this. It's not going to be a problem. Blah blah blah. We'll be okay. And I
mm-hmm.
can't do that for my mother. I don't know how to do that for her. I can put light around her, and I can do that as much as possible. But I'm too close to the situation. I don't know. I can heal my children. My children can, you know, my son does that with me. He puts light around me. But I don't know. I'm in a different space than I'm accustomed to. It's very unusual.
Well, obviously, when you had your mother and that kind of stuff, it always has to be a little bit different because it depends what the perception's at, too.
Yeah. Well, it goes, okay, so you, as a mother, as me being a mother, you know, taking care of my children, it is, you know, like nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have to think about it. It just happens. I can do it. I have to drop the hat. Now, reversing
mm-hmm.
the role and taking care of my mother, who I'm, this is a woman who's, excuse my language, but she's a badass, okay? We were talking
okay.
about her given. No, I'm serious. We were, you know, this is a woman who was always considered a biker bitch. You know, she's got a picture of herself on Facebook where she's laying on the back of a Harley and she's just laying there, has a bandana on and, you know, little jeans and her little tank top and,
okay.
and they've been traveling on the bike and she was talking about giving, you know, having my brother, and I just sat there looking at her going, there is no way in hell I would have messed with this woman if I had met her any other time. You know, this she would have intimidated me so bad. I would have steered very clear of her. But here she is so very fragile and very humble
I'm very sick. And I'm just, yeah. So.
You're not really sure? What's up, huh?
Yeah, and I'm really not sure quite how to handle myself.
Oh, really?
Well, she's always been, you know, she's always been such a pillar of strength, and here she's not. So it's a new learning. It's a new experience for me. So anyways, I'm not exactly sure how long I can stand her because I've had to come outside of the hospital because I was very, very adamantly informed that because of the HIPAA laws, I'm not allowed to be on the radio show in there. So
what kind of laws, huh?
HIPAA, H-I-P-P-A. Yeah. Anyways, I'm not really thrilled about it, but I had a very detailed, almost heated conversation with a nurse about it. So I'm outside, not talking on the phone inside.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy with the situation with some of those things, too, where people sit there and go, you know, I've actually done a lot of research on a lot of things, and there's never been any kind of incidences where a cell phone is messed with anything. It's just one of those things that people have a very active imagination.
If I want to go inside and have a private conversation on my cell phone, I'm welcome to. But because of the radio show, I'm not allowed to be on my phone on the radio show.
Is this like we can't go to the Pentagon and do the radio show because there's too many damn secrets?
I guess. I don't know. I'm like, wow, look at our society and how things have changed. But I just and how things are set. You have to jump through hoops and you have to, there's laws and, I don't do well with control.
Yeah, me neither. So, you know, people say, well, this place got to be. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I know.
You all think you got control, but realistically, reality sets in and says, you really have no control of anything and everything, because I guarantee you whatever is going to happen is going to happen. Doesn't matter where it's at. You can set those laws and those rules. I actually heard a judge say this one time, which I was kind of unusual. But he sits here and says that realistically, the law is not justice. A law is where you start. It's like a basis or a foundation. You know, something somewhere to start. Okay, someone supposedly violated this law, and then we look at the situation, why, if it happened, and all those other things too. Because our society is like, it's kind of funny, I don't care what anybody says, but government, even medical, I think it's one of those things now that if you look at these situations, I don't care what, like I said before, I don't care what anybody says. There's a lot of imbalances in the justice system. There's imbalances in the medical society too as well, because we have people working god-awful long hours. And what I think is so funny about medical is those people get paid pretty good. So the idea of doing those god-awful hours, and the idea I call it a false sense of responsibility of people who think that if they don't put themselves in those positions, people are going to die, not realizing that what's really going on is just two people crossing paths in the process of a more of a positive outcome, you know? Because it's all about attraction. So they can sit there and say, well, if I wouldn't have, and we've all said those things before to ourselves, if I would have been there, I could have done it differently. But, you know, I heard this one thing, I believe it too. People keep saying, if I could have done this, it would have been different. Realistically, it played out just the way it was supposed to, because if it was still be different, it would be. But it wasn't. It happened just the way it is. And I think if the ideal falls in the same category as what I tell people, stop looking for yourself. Stop looking for the solution. Sit down and accept yourself for who you are, and I have a funny feeling the solution and the answers you're looking for will come to you. That's the reality part, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to talk about reality, that's reality to me. You know, we talk about the law of attraction. But I don't think we really understand the depth of the law of attraction actually works with everything. Okay? People say, well, if I don't go out there and I don't go looking for a person, I'm never going to find anybody. And I'm like, but you haven't found anybody. And you've been searching for, like, what, 4 days? 4 weeks? Oh, 4 years. Anyway, you know. But it's that thing we were talking about before, and we talk about balance in our lives, and in that situation of a person who thinks they have to do something, there's an imbalance between doing and being. And it's like sitting people down, and when you accept yourself for who you are, you realize you're an intuitive being. You're also a spiritual being. You're also a magnet of attraction.
Oh, so therefore, yes, you are.
You, Even the Bible, it says, stand still and hear the voice of God. And if you say anything about the situation on that thing, of how things go now, it's the ideal of being still to hear the guidance. Because you're allowing your thoughts and everything else to rattle so loudly, you can't hear yourself. Think, well, it's actually what you're not, you can hear yourself thinking. That's what started the rattling. It's the ideal of being, because of meditation. If we could teach people how to meditate in the process of actually breathing and relaxing and realizing meditation is teaching you to let go and putting you in a position of being still to hear the guidance that's coming through that you've been actually asking for. Angels are always talking to you. Spirits, angels, God, the whole bit, they never stop communicating with you. They never stop giving you guidance. It's you have decided not to listen, or as some people call it, oh, I hear it, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Hopefully one of these days they're going to look at the idea of the decisions they're making and how deep that hole they're digging.
Exactly. The universe simply responds to our vibration. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether our vibration is low or whether it's high, it responds.
Oh, say hello to Mrs. Hicks. Mrs. Hicks here. Anyway.
What?
You sound just like Esther Hicks, I swear. It's okay. The law of vibration. I just heard this on YouTube the other night. I'm sorry, Lauren.
That's a little creepy because I have never heard anything or read anything that she's ever said or read. But I know who she is. And I'm very excited that you say that. I'm always very flattered. Thank you.
Yeah, so when I say that you sound like her, it's not the idea of her tone of her voice, yes, but the idea of what she says, how she says
it. Truth
is
truth. And it truly is. And those are things that I've experienced. Those are things that I've read. Those are, I tell you, my life is very, very full and abundant right now. And I've experienced some of the greatest betrayal and some of the greatest heartache. And it's the first time in my life that I've never had any of my children with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of things in my life that have happened to make me sad. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. But I'm not sad because I find the beauty in every single thing. My vibration is high. And so just going to the park and sitting there under the gazebo like I did yesterday and listening to the drum circle and watching the clouds roll in over the mountains, waiting for the evening rain. Oh, my gosh, that is such beauty. And those things, those simple, beautiful things, if we can each tune into that, what's true and beautiful and magnificent. And
I was going to take another caller.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Okay. All right. The caller is Kay.
Oh, yeah, my name is Kakalia.
Kakalia?
Well, how are you?
Yes, I'm doing good. I was listening to the conversation, and I just decided to call in for a general reading. I hear, like, it's just so lovely, the conversation that's going on. It feels like you have so much friends around you and in general. And I hope that I'm sorry, I don't know your name, Heather, but I hope everything goes well with your mom and sending love
Thank
and light
you.
And... Yeah.
Thank you, honey. Thank you.
Well. So where are you in the world?
Yes, I am in Gainesville, Florida.
Gainesville, Florida. We were just talking to, this is funny too, because we were talking to Cheryl, who lives in Washington State. She also lives in the same town that Ted Bundy was born in. And then she calls in, and she's in Gainesville. That's where they actually caught Ted Bundy.
Oh, wow.
And that's why he got the death penalty, because he did it in Florida.
Oh,
if he would have
done
it anywhere else, if he would have stayed in Washington or those other Clinton, he would have got life imprisonment. But since he decided to venture into Florida, Florida is like Texas, fry him. So,
yeah.
And that's what they did. He went to the electric chair, and I also heard that was it took a lot of people to get him there because, you know, he comes off like this great personality and that kind of thing, and he's, like, so together. And he really fell apart on that one. If anybody's ever seen the technique of when they actually execute somebody or electrocute somebody, it's a really, there's a lot of, it's just, you know, see the movies where they have the guy walking down to the chair and then they basically hit a button and fry him, right? It doesn't work that way. There's actually a thing where they do this hacking, I call it, where they actually have a tendency to take certain things and to take care of all the orifices.
Because
when people, see, when people die, okay, this is the truth. It's not like television. We have these things called involuntary muscles. And when you die, everything relaxes. Everything stops and it's functioning. So those muscles that have a tendency to keep a lot of bodily functions and stuff in. I think the scariest thing I saw was a guy was there doing an autopsy. They did the autopsy. They put the guy on the table. And he still had some air in his lungs. And what happened was something happened where it released. And this guy actually released all that oxygen, all that air out of his around his diaphragm. And he actually stood up.
Oh, wow.
He actually was, like, laying on the bed, and he, from his waist up, he went up. Can you imagine sitting in a freaking morgue by yourself? All of a sudden, this guy goes, and this flares light up, and you're going, I think it's time for me to go home. But it's just some of those things that something happened. The same thing with Ted Bundy. What they do is they do a packing thing with, I think it's some kind of Vaseline kind of stuff, and they put a diaper on you. So therefore, when things relax, and plus you got to think about it, you're getting hit with 100,000 volts, and it has a tendency to be projective. So a lot of things happen.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, people are probably sitting there going, what's it got to do with anything with spirituality? And I was like, it's just the idea of how things really happen.
Now you're gonna, something.
This is the funny thing about it is the next time you watch a movie where they're taking the guy to the electric chair, the first thing you're going to think of, you're going to think about me. Okay? So, the guy walking down the freaking aisle and you're thinking, I said, is that sad for, you know, here you are thinking about me when you should be watching the movie, you know? Well, that's where it goes. And you're going to think about, this is what you're going to do also. You're going to think, is that guy wearing a diaper? Anyway.
Yeah. Usually the thing when I think about that situation is I think about that they get their last meal, like whatever they want. And that's like I guess that's a good benefit somewhat, you know?
Last meal. Well, I don't think it was a good idea, depending on the appetite. It's probably why they wear the diaper. Especially if it was Mexican food, right? Anyway.
Oh, dear.
Can you imagine Mexican food getting hit by electricity? And I don't think.
You invoke the worst images. You need to stop that.
I'm just saying with the situation and stuff like that, when you start thinking, I guess now that, I know Florida and Texas still have the death penalty, but have they changed it where it's just lethal injection now?
I think Texas is the electric chair. I'm not positive.
I think there is one state that still does the gas chamber. I can't remember who it is. But I know, because I was sitting there, they were showing that when it was the last person. I mean, it was the idea of the last thing to do. It was
okay,
one, it was
you realize,
one state.
I'm sitting at a hospital, right? there's little entities hanging out.
Okay, we'll change the subject and we'll ask our friend. Can I ask your name again?
I'm sorry.
You in Tennessee. You in Florida. What? Pronounce your name again.
Yes, Kakelia.
Kakelia.
Yes.
Are you originally from Florida?
Yes. I was originally born in Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida. So, is there anything we can answer for you? Any questions you have?
No, not in general. No, not really. I feel like things have taking a turnaround more recently, because before I was like I was really worried about getting like a certain internship, and I finally just let it go, and I just let things happen the way they happen, and sadly I didn't get the internship, but I ended up getting, I guess, better things in the end, you know.
Well, that's cool. That's where it's supposed to work. And yeah, just putting the intentions out there, letting down the resistance to get the best spot. Because most people keep focusing on that one image. When I sit there and tell you, I had that one phrase I used to use a lot, where it was, well, how does it go? This or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and in harmonious ways for the highest good of all concern. So be it, so it is. So it's the idea when you say this or something better, you're opening all the doors and windows. So if you get what you want, it is exactly what you thought. That's great. If it's not, then something better is coming. Or
what
already
are you doing?
They're playing that freaking loud-ass music up there, and I can't hear.
Oh. Oh, well, because you're right by the townhouse. Don't ever go to the townhouse.
Never?
I'm never, ever.
So you're never, ever going to the townhouse again?
No, I'm mad at them.
What did they do?
They made us leave.
No, really? What'd you do? Or do you want to tell us? It wasn't like tequila anything. And dancing on tables, and, huh?
No, but I did have my bottle of mimosa in my purse. I'm sorry. I am very well behaved most of the time, but every once in a while I am a little naughty. So I just have fun, and I hate rules, and so it just, you know, bothers me. I have to break them every once in a while. So.
Yeah, most of your bars and places don't allow you to bring in alcohol and drinks is because their perception is materialistic.
Yes.
They feel
like you're not buying a drink.
You ever see how much bars make?
I know.
Ridiculous.
They make a killing. They never knew. That's not why they kicked us out. They just one of our group members got a little sick, and it wasn't because he had too much to drink or anything like that. It was just he genuinely got sick. And so they asked us to leave because he was throwing up in the bathroom. So I just felt it was inappropriate. And anyway, all is well. So.
Mhm. Well.
Yeah.
So, we'll go back to the scene there before and ask her if she has any questions she'd like to ask.
Sorry.
Oh no, I'm in
okay,
a conversation.
Well, honey, I think that you need to just keep going with the direction you're going. It sounds like that's what came up for me when you were talking, was that you need to do your affirmations and trusting, letting go, and you did exactly that. And just know that whatever doesn't work, even if you want it, the universe knows what's best. And so the universe kind of makes things happen the way that it's best for us.
Aww.
So if it doesn't work, that's not where you're meant to be. If it does, what a blessing. What a huge, awesome thing. And also, on that note, it can see, okay, there's a couple of things there. One, our vibration, there's kind of some depth to that. Our vibration will match whatever comes into our space, okay? Whatever comes into our space matches our vibration. So, but at the same time, the universe can step in and say, not this way. We're going to go over here. We're going to go this way. So it's kind of a combination of things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you put your you have your vibration up there, right where you want it to be, then those things are going to happen. It just may not look quite the way you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you're a team with the universe, and so you're both working towards your highest good. So yes. Good job, honey. Good job in trusting and letting go and just trusting.
Yeah.
Sounds like things have fallen into place just perfect for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think it's one of the situations you connect and you look at the situation, the conversations we've been having tonight and that kind of stuff, and plus the stuff that you've probably been hearing and that kind of stuff, just really, you should look at the situation of just actually being here, the understanding the idea of how our energy attracts like energy. And so I was sort of trying to tell people in the chat room, if you're here or if you're in the queue and you're listening, you should listen to everything that's going on, because more than likely you're going to get the answers to your questions probably before you even get on here, to the point where you'll be able to ask another question you wasn't even thinking about. But some people are sitting there going, they're so consumed in the idea of getting on the show and consumed about that one question, which tells us that they're not really listening to themselves, they're not listening to anybody else. This show continues to unfold, no matter if you're listening or not. But I guarantee you, you're going to get some information, you're going to get some guidance, you're going to get some advice that you really should take to heart, that resonates with you in the whole bit. I just think it's kind of funny how we had one lady used to come on here, and all she did was basically complain.
Uh-huh.
And said, you know, I took 40 minutes in the queue. I've been waiting for 40 minutes. And there was a lady that came on not too long afterwards who waited an hour and a half. And the woman who was complaining had been waiting for 40 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and she was trying to tell me how to do the show. And people don't understand. I'm not going to listen to your perception. I'm going to do this show the way I'm guided to do it, and
mm-hmm.
nothing more. If you want to sit there and contribute to that and it resonates, sure. Sometimes my guides and angels have a tendency to talk to other people, of course. But when people start complaining and telling me how I'm doing it wrong, all I'm listening to at that moment is ego, and that's what's going on about, I want to get on your show. I want to be on the air. I want people to see me and hear me. I don't know how they're going to see her, but anyway. But the lady who waited for an hour and a half came on the show to tell me one thing. She thought my show was great. She thought I was great, and she said I already had my answers to my questions by listening to the show. And she said, I just want to come on here and just really thank you and tell you that you're really doing a great job. Okay?
Yeah.
And it was an experience for both, because the lady who should have been listening should have listened to that to see what it's really all about. Okay? It's the ideal of more of discover your better self. Okay? And when that lady came on and did the same thing and complimented me too, it was also a discovery for me to realize that when I tell everybody else to accept themselves for who they are, when she said that, I had a little tough time taking that compliment and actually accepting myself too.
Yeah.
So you see, it was a learning experience for everything, and I just know for a fact that this show and the things that I do in the sessions and that kind of stuff, it's one of those things. I actually have a prayer where it's basically saying, you know, give me insights, help me see, hear, feel, and know guidance, and also the ideal being accurate and detailed and specific, and also everybody in the session, everybody walk away blessed. Okay, that's everybody. So when I give you guidance, a lot of times my guys and angels they do more than they don't to take a look at the situation, the advice that was given, to also listen.
I felt like I couldn't even stay away from the show, because I remember when I went to my internship, I became like that crazy person that kept calling into other psychic shows asking the same question, because I want to know, like, what was the company's name, who was the interviewer, and then, like, I feel like I got to that point where I was stressing out too much about it. And so I just let it go, and then today, like, I think I'm trying to get off of it. I'm trying to, like, now I'm trying to calm myself down and, like, only, like, do it, like, once a week, because I don't want to, I guess, spoil things for myself. And I just couldn't stay away from the show, because it's like such loyal, friends, and like just the dynamic of the show, and I just couldn't stay away. It's just so loving, the station.
I'm trying to figure out what happened to Terry.
Yeah.
Terry hasn't been on for a while.
Yeah.
Aww.
Terry usually pops in from time to time, and does her little thing too. I was just, you know, it's amazing with some of the things that happen. I mean, we were doing some sessions today, and I was just always concerned about people's feelings and certain things, and I connect with everybody very quickly, so. I just want them to understand that that's what I connect with people on different levels and that kind of stuff. That don't ever sit there and look at yourself as being inferior or not being important. I just want to point to them and say, you know, something like your situation, you're focusing on a lot of things and you're over-focusing, but you also realize that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you corrected the situation. So it's also sometimes people don't realize that's where patience comes from, because it's a constant constant correcting thing. Because there's some days we overanalyze and we overdo, and there's other days sometimes we get a little procrastinating. We don't want to deal with it. And then there's other days we're around the money. So you can see how patience is so hard, because it's different every day.
Yeah.
And so are we. That's why it's so important to accept yourself for who you are in the mornings. It makes the day go a whole lot smoother.
Okay.
So are there any other questions you'd like?
No, I think I have all my questions answered, like you said. okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call, and you guys have a good night, because it's like 11
o'clock.
Yeah, well, you guys have a good day and night and all of that. Thank you.
We will, honey. You too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
All right, Johnny. I really deserve to go inside and sit and visit with my mother.
Okay, I'll take this next call myself, okay?
Are you sure you can handle it?
I'm pretty sure. It's like all of our, it's like we're going to send you positive energy and all of our thoughts go with you and you and your mother, okay?
No, thank you. I'm sorry. You know, I joke around and I giggle all the time. Even in moments like this, there's always some ray of sunshine somewhere. So
right.
My son's doing some light work on my mom, and I'm going to go in and visit with her, and I know that all is well. So I appreciate it, and I will see you tomorrow.
All righty. See you tomorrow.
All right.
You have a good night, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we're at, okay, let's see. Oh, she's gone. I was like, what happened? All right, let's go to area code 225. Area code 225, welcome to the show. You're on the air. What's your name?
This is Sharon, and I want you to know that I enjoy your show. And thanks for being there for us.
Oh, you're welcome. So how are you?
Today's my birthday.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's kind of funny. I was reading this book today about birthdays and how that people don't obtain success because of the many years and the many birthdays they've had on this planet. They actually acquire and have success in their lives because of the intentions they put out there. So they just have something to do with it. So it makes you feel better. You know, have a birthday party and just look at it for the ideal, the situation, of how many moments you've had in that range of time.
Yep, you're right. That's kind of where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
So you have a question?
Kamal and I.
Huh?
Kamal, a guy friend. I've been friends with him for years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's acting like starting to like mm-hmm. me now, and I don't know. I'm just so used to him being my buddy, you know?
Right. Well, it's the idea of looking at the situation, not really being concerned how he feels. That's pretty obvious. It's the idea of what you really want to do with it. And just because someone likes you doesn't mean you have to go there. For example, I had a lady come on the show and said, you know, well, I think I did a reading for her. And she was saying, I can't get rid of this guy. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? And she said, well, the thing is, it started off with him asking me out, and I didn't want to hurt his feelings, so I decided to go out with him anyway. And I said, well, I guess you learn from that one. You don't do that, because then you have a tough time getting rid of him. Because they're thinking... I mean, think about it. I mean, if you go by perceptions, and some dumbass people go, if you watch their actions, they'll tell you everything. No, it won't. Actions is like everything else. It's just a part of it. It's also the idea of trusting your feelings. And if you feel like this is something that you don't feel, and it's someplace you really don't want to go, and you want it the way it's supposed to be right now, then it's just the idea of trusting that intuition and say, this is the best way to go. Because if you sit there and go against your intuition, and the information, the guidance that you just got, more than likely you're going to have a bad outcome of the situation and actually ruin the whole thing, even the friendship. So it's a hard decision. Sometimes I wouldn't say it's hard, but I can understand the idea of the indecisiveness when it comes to situations like this because, you know, I get the impression he can be kind of pushy sometimes.
Yeah, and I like that friend. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like him as my friend. We function very well as friends.
I'm just saying, if you don't have any kind of romantic intentions, then don't go there. Doesn't matter what he says. It's one of those things where friends, friend zone is good in some sense of the word where it's supposed to be friends. And that's it. You have to sit there and look at somebody and say, you know something, dude? Snap out of it. Quit pushing something. Because if it's meant to happen, there shouldn't be any pushing. Okay, the only time you should push is when you're married and you're having a baby, okay, and it's time to deliver. And that's the only time. If you push, realistically, you're not really having faith in the situation either. You know, you're pushing the situation. I guess you would say feeding into fear and saying, if I don't push this, then I'll never have anybody in my life, when realistically, that's not true.
No.
That's a fear that makes you believe that. It's an illusion, saying, you know, tapping into your insecurities, making you believe that whole situation. If I don't have this person, and you when I start to say snap out of it, it's like looking at a person going, you know, there's been a couple other people in your past that you said the exact same thing, and for some reason you found somebody else. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying you guys have been friends for a long time, so therefore you really know the person, so therefore it's just the idea of pointing things out, the realistic side of the whole thing. It's just not going to go there. And just because he feels that way, he has to ask himself, why does he feel that way? And it's all about him. You know, you really can't help him in the situation. Like I've told everybody before, you know, oh, he did this, he did that. Why did he do that for? Who cares? He did it because it's who he is, and that's what you need to do. I've always said this before. When people accept themselves for who they are, it makes it a lot easier to accept people for what they do. Because you understand, it's just them being themselves, and that's the reaction based off that whole thing of them being who they are. But that girl said that before, too. You know, he should love me more. Why? Because you think he should? He's never going to do it the way you think he should do it. He's always going to do it the way he thinks he should do it. What your job is if you're looking for someone to accept you for you and to love you unconditionally just because of who you are, then try it first.
Yeah,
so there,
friendship.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you can't sit there and look at somebody and accept them for who they are because of what they're doing, then it's a reflection back at you about you should be asking, do I do the same thing? He's not the problem. He's just basically being who he is. Mm. Good, I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted you to know I listen to the show all the time. And I learn a lot.
We appreciate that.
So.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, we appreciate it. I thank you.
And
it's
just
really cool to hear somebody say that.
Yeah, I just wanted to share my birthday with you. I share every other bad moment with you. Why can't I share some good moments?
Well, hey, how can you argue with that one? That's called balance, isn't it? you're right. You should know the situation. People are always expressing their bad times with me, and then we have a sense to work through it. Get to those good times, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I hope you have a great birthday.
Oh,
is it today?
I got muffins, I got cards, I got hugs, I got kisses, and I heard from a friend of mine who I really miss. I haven't talked to her in months, and that was the best gift I could have ever asked for because I miss her.
That's cool.
And then I heard from my kids and my kid's father, and it wasn't about the money. It was just about, you know, everybody remembered.
Well, that's cool. So it was a good experience with your ex?
Yep, and I got a plant.
Oh, you got a plant? Plant?
Yep, something I can go plant in the yard.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I like people give me plants I can actually put in my house. Actually, putting plants in your house actually raises the oxygen level in your home.
Yeah, I have some inside, but my 88-year-old neighbor, she likes to see me get in the yard. She says that she notices when I'm in the yard, I'm at peace. So she keeps me busy.
Well, hey.
She fusses at me.
I guess you should know, right?
Huh?
I said, I guess you should know, right?
For real, when she kept me in the yard, I just had surgery on my hand, so now she figures my hand's better. That's her way of telling me, okay, get in the yard, dig in the dirt, take your hostility.
Right.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart, and she baked me 12 muffins, cupcakes. She's the best cupcake baker in the world. So she made
sounds kind of good itself.
Oh, man, and they chocolate. And I don't know, it's got some kind of cherry flavor, chocolate cherry. They're just great.
Yeah. Usually gives a tint of chocolate-covered cherries.
I don't know. When you taste them, the cupcakes, it tastes like a chocolate cherry. But it's not a strong cherry. It's just enough cherry just to make you know that it's there. She's the best baker. Yeah, sent up a few prayers for her. She's not feeling too well. So that really is special. She's not, you know.
mm-hmm.
have some type of health issues right now. So, you know, and I got to visit with her and, you know.
Yeah.
Just look forward to her. She keeps me motivated.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. That's my buddy. So you
yeah.
have a good show and have a good night. And
thank you.
Okay.
You have a great weekend, okay?
Mm-hmm. I will. I'm going to listen.
All right. I'll put you back on listen mode.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Let's go on to our next caller, which is actually area code 904. 904 is Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, right?
Yes, it is.
And
yeah.
Tell you something real quick. I think you need to speak up just a little bit.
Is it better?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, because that's what I was asking you to speak up just a little bit, too, because I can hear you barely.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah. So you're in Jacksonville, Florida. I was just watching Fringe, a series on television.
Yeah.
But they actually had experiments, mind-altering experiments in Jacksonville, Florida, of all places, huh? Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I have a personal connection to Jacksonville, Florida. I actually have some relatives that live there. I'm not sure exactly how many are left, but I know we used to go there on the summertime, every summer when my mom and dad were still together. Up until
okay.
I think we're like 13 to go visit our cousins and stuff like that. And I've actually lived in Daytona. I lived in Jacksonville, Sarasota. I just can't seem to stay in Florida. I don't know why. Maybe it's fate. Anyway, what's your name? I'm sorry.
Terry.
Your name is Chris?
Terry.
Oh, Terry, sorry.
Yeah. I've just been having a feeling that something big is about to happen. Something is overwhelming, good feeling, been over the last few weeks. And, not sure what's coming my way. But, I think
sometimes it's one of the things I just learned not too long ago, too, is the ideal that something's good is going to happen, something great is going to happen, and realistically, when those things are happening, it's not, I guess what I would sit here and say the trap is not to let yourself feed into it to try to figure what it is.
Okay.
It's the idea of having faith and say, okay, something's going to happen, so let's just go with that and continue to let go, to let the resistance down so it can actually keep progressing to go forward. For example, you sit here and look at the spirit world and look at the idea of, is there really a sense of humor there? I think there is. I got a reading before I came back to Colorado about meeting a girl who would be a massage therapist, healer. She would have a reddish hair and just certain things like that. And in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've actually met 3 girls, almost the same kind of description with the same kind of profession.
Wow.
Okay, so then I did a reading, my friend of mine just did a reading for me, the night. And the one card that came up was, you have choices, so therefore let go of it. Now, if you look at the situation, we could sit here and get really kind of angry and say, okay, let's narrow it down. But what the universe is saying to me right now is the ideal. The reason it's so important to let go is because you have choices. And those choices will actually present themselves and follow through. Like the law of attraction says, it will come to you. And it'll be so obvious. But if you're sitting in the mode of asking questions and trying to figure what it is, you'll miss the signs. Okay? That's what it's saying. So therefore, if you have a really strong feeling and a really strong prompting, that's what it's saying. This is the time to have faith. So therefore, it can just spontaneously happen. I get the impression there's that. I think it's like a chain of things. Like I remember when I first got my first shop, I saw these little miracles that were leading up to the point where I got my shop, which I had declared. I told a friend of mine, I actually stood in front of that shop a year before and said, this is where it's going to happen. If I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I get to work in this as my shop and that kind of stuff, that's a sign for me that this is what I'm supposed to do. It's clear, precise, you know. And then a year later, I could see certain things happening. And I just kept on, not even questioning it. I just sit here and say, okay, there's certain things that present themselves to me. The first one was I got a girlfriend of mine at the time who pushed me out the door, which made me homeless. But it was like, well, my guidance and angels were sitting there going, okay, what's the quickest way to get out of the situation? And the first thing that came to my mind was to listen to the guidance and then go in that direction. And they sent me to a hotel, which I actually got to stay in for 2 days before I had to actually pay for it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the hotel that I went to, because it was kind of funny because it was like hotels all down the strip right in that area. And I said, why this particular hotel? Well, then her husband was managing a place up in the town where the shop was. And I didn't know that. And then she told me that he was managing that apartment building. And that's where I got my apartment. And I think it was a couple of weeks after I got the apartment, her husband and her landlord were walking around town, and some lady had rented that shop out and was looking for a mail reader. And she gave her my phone number. So it was all these things started falling in place. Boom, 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 boom. And next thing I'm sitting in that shop. And then a month later, the lady who had basically had me in there working with her came to me and asked me if I wanted to be a partner. And I actually ended up owning that shop in a month.
Wow.
So you see how the money wasn't the problem. There was no problem. It was me just listening to the guidance, the promptings, and just allowing it, letting the resistance down. Because I could have walked into this place when I got my first apartment. Because these situations were so important, because everybody sits here and says, if I had some money, I would start my own business. And what happened with that situation was money never exchanged when I got that job. It was always the ideal of it was a contract between two people and the ideal of paying certain things that turned into a partnership. So there was never money in the first part of the whole thing. It was just opportunities to be in the right place at the right time. But if you're not listening, you could push yourself out of the equation. On those situations, like when I got the hotel, I didn't have any money. But as soon as I made the decision to follow the guidance, the money came in afterwards. When I went to get that first apartment in that apartment building, I didn't have the money then. And a good opportunity came to me where I actually was able to move into the apartment for almost 2 months. Well, actually about a month before I actually had to give him any money, and they had a special going on with deposits where all I had to do was come up with $99. So basically I got 2 months for $99.
Oh,
so you look at the situations of opportunities, those are fantastic, but I think they happened because I put the intentions that I wanted this to be smoothly and there had to be a better way, and it presented itself. Next thing I know, sitting in a shop going, this is freaky.
Wow. Sweet.
And I get the impression with you, you're on the threshold of experiencing something that's definitely going to change your perception, where you'll be focusing on nothing but what can I do next.
Wow. That sounds great.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
No problem. Go to Jack's Beach and have a great time.
Plan to do that. That was good.
You too. Thank you, and I appreciate your call. You have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go on area code. I think area code 205.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Okay. I just wanted to see if you could had any angel messages for me.
Where are you calling from? Where's 205?
Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I went down there to visit for a while. Stayed with a person down near Decatur, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wild
place
down there.
That's not too far away.
Mm-hmm. So when's your birthday?
February 15th, 57.
Someone like you get the impression that you're going through a lot of changes in perception, or just something that you're looking at differently, you know?
Yes, I'm trying to move to Florida.
The first guidance, the first message I got was the ideal. It came across me and saying, "Stop trying, and just do it." It was like, because the trying part kind of gives you an impression that you're procrastinating on something you really want to do.
Uh-huh.
It seems like almost like when you let that resistance down, you get the impression the opportunity will come to you so clearly.
Okay,
My favorite phrase is always to say like this. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's just that there has to be an easier way.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, for some reason, an easier way always presents itself. Believe me, there's been some situations that if you saw them for yourself, you would sit there and see that phrase works really well.
Okay. Yeah, I have a job interview Wednesday in Pensacola, so I'm hoping that's going to come through for me, and then I can move.
Well, I get the impression, I guess you would sort of look at the messages. We make our lives and all the opportunities that become a reality is because mm-hmm. of the intentions we put into them. Okay, we create our opportunities. So what it is for us to do is to go in those things confidently because that's what we did. The first thing that came to me when you said that was just to walk in this place like you own the place, like the job is already yours.
Okay.
Don't be surprised if you walk away from the situation going, that was so easy. I've done this before I was working for the carnival and I asked for a raise to the point where I sit here and walked up to the guy I have been practicing for. And I've done this before, too. I practice certain things where I'll sit there and say, how much money do you earn a week, Donnie? I said, I earn $400 a week. So I have this little conversation with me. I own $400? Yes, I own $400. That's what I make a week. I make $400 a week. You make $400 a week? Yes, I make $400 a week. And I would do these from time to time. And then when people would ask me the question, how much do you earn a week? I would say $400.
Uh-huh.
And people said, well, that's kind of lying, isn't it? I said, no, what I'm doing is I'm changing the perception. That a couple weeks later, I walked up to my boss, and I had been doing it for so long, I just walked up to the guy and go, I deserve to earn $400 a week. And he like, you do? I said, yes, I do. I said, I've been working my butt off and this and that and the other. And he goes, well, everybody else is too. I said, I got real quiet. I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and he's like, he knew that was full of it. And so he looked at me, I looked at him, and he said, really? He said, how much you make now? I said, I make $350, and I deserve to make $400. I said, I just feel very strongly that I deserve that $400 a week. He looked at me, paused for a second, and said, okay, $400 it is. I say, yes, I agree. Boom.
Wow.
And I mean, I walked away from the place going, maybe I should have asked for $450.
Right.
So the one time I did that too, which kind of freaked me out with the idea of intention and how important the details are and how powerful it can actually create something.
Uh-huh.
I was in a situation where I needed $125 I just moved from Ohio to Colorado and I was living in a hotel and I needed $125 to pay for another week. And I had money. I had done a lot of work, but done a lot of sessions and stuff. And the money was coming. It just wasn't going to fall on that day. Okay.
Right.
And I was doing my show that night. I was doing the radio show that night, the night before. And a friend of mine came on the show, and something came to me, and like a little voice said, ask him. He'll help you out. Ask him. And that little pride thing kicked in. That's why I always say pride is a bad thing, because it keeps you from doing things that you know you should try to ask, you know, to sit here and say sometimes you have to ask a friend for help. So I was like, so I didn't listen that night. But the next day I was sitting there focusing, a little nervous, because the money hadn't come in yet, and I needed that money for that room, right?
Uh-huh.
And then the guy's an angel said, what would you be doing right now if you wasn't worrying about this thing? Because you haven't let it go. I said, yeah, I have. And they go, and why are you still thinking about it? If you had let it go, you wouldn't be thinking about it. So it's like, we'll help you out. We'll help you use a technique to let go of it. And that's focusing on what you're supposed to be doing and living your life right now. So what would you be doing right now at this moment? I said, I'd probably be on the bus going to the gym. They said, okay, then go to the gym. As soon as I got on that freaking bus and I was heading and getting really close to the gym, that prompting came to me again to call that guy, to ask him for the money. So I said, okay, I knew these things before. If you keep hearing it over and over again, it's not going to stop until you actually, you know, follow through with it. So I said, okay, I'll call the guy. So I called Richard up and said, hey, I said, how you doing? Things are going to you. I said, I got this little rough patch right now. I got all this money coming in, but it's not coming in today. I need $125 for my room. He says, done. I said, what? He says, done. I'll send it to you. As soon as I get to the computer, I just got to walk over to the computer. I'll send it to you to your PayPal and be done. And we got cut off. we lost the signal, so I got cut off my cell phone because I was on the bus. And I'm sitting there going, wow, maybe I should ask for $150. Because realistically, yeah. I would have liked to have $150 to pay, you know, $125 for the room and some food, right? Well,
right.
We get through this little patch. We get to the other side where I could actually get a signal, and Richard called me back. And I say, Rich, what's up? He goes, I sent the money to you, but I didn't send you $125. Really? Most people, when they say that, they usually sent me less, right? So I was like,
right.
Okay. And he said, I didn't send you $125. I actually sent you $150. So when you look at the situation, I didn't dwell on nothing. I didn't say it over and over in my head. I just simply said, maybe I should have asked for $150 because $150 could really help me out. It's always when you specify how that would enhance your life,
mm-hmm.
has a tendency to follow through. That's what happened. It's just that freaking easy. Boom. And sure enough, when I went to go check on that account, there it was. $150. It was actually $152 in there. I said, You know something? This morning I had zero in my account, and the only thing I could see that changed the whole thing was my intentions and how I changed my perception and actually was living my life and going to the gym. And it's kind of funny. That's the only thing I did. I let it go in the process of focusing on going to the gym. You know, and I guess we'd sit here and say, going to the gym to release release the stress. It was funny. When I let go of the whole thing, before I even got to the gym, the stress was already gone.
Hmm.
It was like that little voice was working against me instead of working for me, which caused the stress. So the stress was basically something I self-inflicted upon myself. But when I got myself back to living my life, then it was just simply another thing that just became a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it smoothed some things out. So it was cool, you know? I've done it a couple of times now. I just have the thing was like demanding. It's called demanding or making a declaration where you say, okay, today I have two more bills I need to pay off. And if I pay these bills off, it'll take a lot of off my mind. It would help me really greatly. And it was like one of those days before where I have zero in my account. And then I focus, and actually I have a couple of people call me to get session.
Uh-huh.
And then the bills were taken care of before midnight that night.
Wow.
I'm just saying, with your situation, it's the ideal of, when we say get yourself in a natural way, it's the ideal of trying to get that feeling inside of yourself that you would get after they've told you you have the job, which means you have the job, to get that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much makes it a done deal. Right. Okay?
Okay. Sounds great.
Love to hear from you again and tell us how everything went.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
And you have a fantastic weekend, all right?
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, that's our show for tonight, and we're going to get out of here. Cause I got to take – that's one of the situations when you say I got to go. I mean, I've been on the air for 2 hours, so I got to go. And it's one of those situations. It was really a pleasure having everybody here. It was great answering all those calls. We had some great conversations. It's been a great show. And I want to thank everybody for being a part of it. People called in, people listening. Sorry about the chat room. We're trying to get that little thing organized. I saw somebody in the chat room who wanted to ask a couple questions, and we do. Answer questions from the chat room. So therefore, next time you're on here, remember that. And like I said, we'll be here again tomorrow night and Sunday and Monday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. So join us. We look forward to hearing from you. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And we will see you guys later. And we'll leave you out of here with a nice little tune called Show Me the Way. We'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.